Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Coming up in less than 20 minutes, Barry Zwerluga will join us from the Washington Post. We'll talk MLB playoffs with him, Commanders, and more. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's time for EB's entertainment page, driven by BMW of Fairfax.
That's right, Cakes. He may not be the most interesting man in the world, but my guy, Mike Walker, over at BMW Fairfax, has no interest in charging you interest. Just 2.99% on most X-Series models for a limited time only. I've got the X5. My buddy, if you're into electric vehicles, he's just got the i7. Absolutely loves it. It trounces Cakes' little matchbox car. He runs a smart car he drives around
How
in.
How dare you?
Find out more at BMWFairfax.com. You know, you mentioned Crop Metcalf.
He did?
He did, yes.
Yeah, you're just not listening.
On the end.
Sponsorship, yes.
And I still need to call them. I don't know if you guys would have dealt with this. Actually, Jason probably would be the same boat as me.
Correct.
My upstairs thermostat went blank like 2 weeks ago.
All right.
I just don't feel like dealing with it.
Well, you get Crop over there. They'll fix it.
It's just, I got to be there. Got to, you know, I just don't feel like dealing with it. And since the weather has changed, I haven't really needed.
It was chilly yesterday. Chilly and windy.
But it's going to start getting cold.
Fall, very fall.
Oh, no, but it's going to, no, you're going to get a cold front today, tomorrow, but it's going to get
warmer.
Back
warm again,
it's
I know.
It's going to be in the 70s this weekend.
But I'm still, ooh. I'm just.
But eventually, yes. You're
I'm
right.
letting the lower level one kind of heat.
So what you're telling
me,
good
upstairs.
Weather for Terps Trojans in College Park?
It's supposed to be in the 70s, yeah.
Oh, it should be beautiful.
I'm not sure if it's supposed to be cloudy or sunny, yeah. But.
I just don't feel like dealing with it. I'm going to deal with it.
Doesn't sound like you.
I don't like to deal with anything, Cakes. I don't like to put gas in the car.
Understood.
All right. Lot going on. Shocker. We have to keep track of this, Cakes, because it's just outrageous. Diddy is now facing new allegations of rape, sexual abuse, and sexual assault. At least 6 lawsuits were filed in New York federal court by 2 women and 4 men. They include allegations that span all the way back from 1995
sue everybody.
Through 2021, including minors. One of the accusers said he was 16 when he attended one of the parties. He was thrilled to get an invitation. And then he said at one point, Diddy told him he had to take his pants down. He said it was a rite of passage.
Oh, man.
According to the lawsuit. The route to becoming a star. And, I mean, the allegations are just heinous. Of course, celebrities are panicking. Celebrities that have been attending those parties. Of course, Texas lawyer Tony Busby, who's representing the accusers, says he's representing more than 100 people who plan to sue Diddy. Wow. On allegations of sexual assault, rape, and sexual exploitation. Telling you, it is.
I mean, you hear something new every week.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
How many total lawsuits are there? It's got to be.
Well, he said he's got over 100 that he represents.
Yeah.
He's going to spend the. It's looking like he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison.
Well, a lot of people just think they're just going to kill him. They have to kill him. It's too much.
Who's
too much
they?
Out there.
Who's they have to kill him?
That's the people involved.
The people with skin in the game.
The people with skin in the game, yeah.
Mm.
People with skin in the game.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, Epstein him. we'll see. See what happens. See if he survives. Because he could take down all of Hollywood. When you look at the names of the people that have been going to those parties, they're the biggest names in Hollywood.
I care about my 2 remaining survivor teams more than I care about Diddy surviving.
Give me 5 of the names. You say they're the biggest names.
Oprah Winfrey.
Okay.
Denzel Washington.
LeBron went to a bunch of the
LeBron
calls.
Went to a bunch of parties. Ain't no party like a Diddy party. I mean, the biggest names in Hollywood. All of them. So, we'll see.
I think a lot of that is unfair. I mean, the guy's hosted hundreds of parties for decades. Any person who with any ounce of fame has probably been to those parties. That doesn't mean they were doing anything nefarious.
No, true. You're right.
That's a true
but
point.
But some of them probably were.
Point. Just because you went to a party doesn't mean you're guilty.
I mean,
of course. But and supposedly, there was a main party, which, you know, the regular folks went to. And then there was the later party.
Oh, so there was like a PG-13 party and then an X-rated party
and then
later?
The other party.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. Those are the ones. Those are the people they got to watch out.
Okay, I guess
supposedly, like, I know Stern always claimed that he was on the outside He was that, and he hated Diddy because he never let him into the exclusive party. But you know what? Might have been doing him
probably
a favor.
Probably better that way. Yeah.
Might have been doing him a favor. So, anyway, I find it fascinating. We'll see what happens. Probably most of your Hollywood heroes are bad news guys.
My Hollywood heroes.
The Joker. I don't understand. I'm kind of surprised by this. They're saying it's going to lose maybe 150 to 200 million.
Well, as soon as, look, the yes, no man needed to step in.
Why do people hate this one?
As soon as we got pitched that, Valdez, if we're in that room, and the second they said, we're going to make a Joker musical, once we hear musical and we see whatever inflated, bloated budget there is.
So is that what it is?
We're going to say no.
It's because it's a musical?
You're going to say no. Is he going to say no?
Oh, I think we're in lockstep.
I would say no.
We're both going to say no.
But with Lady Gaga and Joaquin Phoenix, you think that they're two superstars, though? That would be.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Look at the script.
You can't mix a musical in with, you know, a comic book drama.
Well, what was the one? What was the one with Bradley Cooper?
Stars Born?
Yeah, Stars Born. Like, that had musical elements to it, but it wasn't taking over the entire movie.
Yeah. Again,
this apparently is taking over the entire movie.
Well, there's nothing wrong with music in movies. It's just that if you act it out like a musical, that could probably throw people.
There have been successful musicals. I read that basically the studio, there were two new guys who took over the studio. Weren't the Yes No Men.
They weren't, you know, they weren't geniuses like us, Valdi.
And Todd Phillips' name was attached to it. I don't know if he's the director or the producer. He's known for The Hangover and other movies.
Yeah.
And they just said, okay, go ahead, do your thing.
What was their
and then
loss?
Todd created this
Do we know
mess.
The numbers on the loss?
Well, they're assuming it's going to lose 150 to 200 million.
Well, again, we could have stepped in and said, do you not want to lose 150 million? Because you can pay us $3 million. That's our standard fee. And you can save $147 million by not producing this movie.
Yeah.
Geniuses.
They should have known the second the info about the movie came out when everyone groaned about a musical. Of course, musicals can be great, but they're targeted for women.
Right.
Joker fans, for the most part, are young men.
Brad, let me pitch this to you.
It seems like a bad mix.
Yeah. Are you going to go see Hulk the musical?
Absolutely not.
Are you going to go see Iron Man the musical?
Right.
Of course you're
it's
not.
It's a different genre. You're conflating two totally different genres.
Dumb idea from the very outset.
I actually didn't even realize it was a musical. Well, of course it's bombs.
It is.
Of course it's bombs.
It's
and I actually
away.
Like musicals, but like High School Musical, or you know what I mean? Right. Like a musical is supposed to be a musical.
It's a standalone.
Not a superhero thing.
Yeah, you don't need to mix them up.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be a mashup.
I couldn't think of
West Side Story. Silly.
Right. Musicals
Grease.
Are fine.
Hey, Grease is silly.
It's amazing.
Fantastic.
I love musicals, but I don't think I would want to see like Batman.
I don't know if I would go I don't love musicals.
I actually like
musicals. They're
I like
okay.
Them.
I
love
think they
a
just
strong word.
I like musicals more than just regular theater. I get psyched to see people sing. They're just so talented.
They're definitely talented.
Yeah, but we wouldn't be psyched for Freddy Krueger the musical.
Right.
I think they just thought that Todd Phillips was attached to the project, that it was going to succeed, because I'm looking back. I'll start with The
Lady
Hangover.
Lady Gaga and Joaquin Phoenix. Right. I mean, huge
so
stars.
He did The Hangover, Due Date, Hangover 2, Project X, I believe Evie was big into that.
Oh, I thought it was a great movie.
Hangover Part 3. So he's cranking out Hangovers.
They got over their skis, too many Hangovers.
He did War Dogs.
War Dogs is a good flick.
Producer for Star is Born.
Yeah.
He did Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, man, you're cranking them out.
Well, I can understand. They went to him with a big sack of money and said, do Joker 2, whatever it's called.
He still got paid.
Hey, he did Road Trip.
Road Trip is a fantastic movie.
The iconic scene.
So this is just a Todd Phillips dud.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even know Todd Phillips. I just, when I see Joker, Lady Gaga, Joaquin Phoenix, you would think hit. But they threw in the musical element.
Yeah, lost everybody.
That's a big wrinkle.
Yep.
Speaking of big wrinkle, Jelly Roll. His new album came out on Friday, Cakes.
Yes.
And I didn't know this. We should have previewed some songs, Valdez. Apparently, he claims he has lost 100 pounds.
Wow, good for him.
Yeah, good for
That's
him.
That's awesome.
I thought he gave up on that old shtick.
I guess not.
He still looks enormous.
Did you see that he's getting a bar on Broadway in Nashville?
Yeah.
Like every other every other popular musical act?
That's Jason's favorite city.
Cool. That's got to be pretty cool. Because he's from that
It wasn't
area.
Horrible. Yeah, yeah. It was just too
it's
much
just
for
like
two
Vegas.
Nights.
It's just like Vegas.
One night's good. Two nights.
I was there for like four nights.
I don't know how you did it. Did you go to Broadway all four nights?
No, I went out.
Oh, okay. Right.
I personally went out one night, and then I went for lunch a couple times, you know, that kind of thing. And then I stayed
one night's
like
good. Back to back nights. Out. I'm too old for back to back nights on Broadway.
Oh yeah, you can't go hard like that.
No, I drank every night though.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you, nothing else to do in Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, I love drinking.
Guessing there's actually a lot to do there, but
yeah, there's a lot to do at bars,
honky tonk bars, and watching bachelorette parties go up and down the street. Sure, there's lots to do.
How do you know if you have a fatty liver?
Go to a doctor. I would guess.
Yeah.
A doctor would be able to diagnose it, right?
I don't like going to the doctor. Jason, I know you're a big Robert Smith guy. The Cure.
Man, I wish I still had that picture of Robert Smith and I. And was Cakes in the picture?
I think I was.
Did you try and print out the camera? He finally did, right?
I had film that was in
I would
old
love
camera
to see that picture.
That I had.
Right.
I took it to a CVS.
Yeah.
It was just garbage. You couldn't even make out images that were on like the pictures. I'm
because
just
going, it, oh, really?
It was just old film.
It just disintegrated.
Deteriorated.
He waited 15 years.
So in the canister, it died.
It might have even still been in the camera the whole time. I don't even know.
No, but so hold on. Did you have it exposed to the elements? Or
I
just,
don't think so. I think it was just.
It wasn't like it got burned in the backseat of your car.
My camera, if it had a voice, would say, develop this film, idiot. Please develop me.
Just decayed.
I'm fading away.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Well, anyway, Robert Smith from The Cure, by the way, says he's going to retire in 5 years. Do you want to play Guess My Age again?
Sure.
How old
What's
is
my age again?
Yeah.
Robert Smith from The Cure, you want to lead off, Jason?
How old is Robert Smith?
I'm in on 72.
68.
72? There's no chance. 68. Zippy chances in the 70s. He's 64.
You're very close, Cake. 65.
Okay.
He's going to retire when he turns 70. Unlike the Rolling Stones, 5 years from now, in 2029, Robert Smith will turn 70, and he's out. If I make it that far, he says.
He's going to work to full Social Security retirement age.
They were the closing act of one of the festivals,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember thousands
Jay-Z,
of people leaving once they went on stage. Well,
I think it was because your boys from Boston performed right before them, right?
No, Godsmack was the year before. Yeah, they were a closer.
Godsmack closed.
They were awesome.
2003, and I think The Cure closed.
I just remember The Cure. It might have been, as Cake said, that Jay-Z was on stage and there were all these other acts, and then The Cure just kind of like killed the mood.
Well,
yeah, but it was
they're an uber depressing band.
But sometimes
the
closer is not the best place.
Right. But the music is great.
Next to closer is the one. Do you remember who it was right before?
Before
might have been like Offspring.
Cure.
I think the Offspring were on the same bill.
Offspring were earlier.
Were they?
Nobody cared about them.
They were actually pretty good, from what I remember.
They were earlier though. They were earlier
Maybe.
In the day.
Don't remember.
Good HF Festival lineups back in the day.
But Kanye. I remember being on the stage, and their keyboardist said...
For who?
The Cure. Remember they told us to move? Like, our angles were...
Okay.
We were in their peripherals, I guess?
Right. I wasn't. I had rolled out by then.
Oh, don't you remember that?
I kind of remember
They told us to move from this... We were backstage. They said, no, you got to move. You got to move to that spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, it was 10 feet away.
They're diva rock stars.
And the keyboardist was.
I don't know if it has the order here. But the band lineup of the 2004 HF Festival included The Offspring, Jay-Z, POD, Newfound Glory, Violent Femmes, Cypress Hill, Papa Roach, OAR.
Just
and
smashes.
Fall Out Boy.
Smashes everywhere.
Jesus, I didn't see it. Fall Out Boy was on a side stage.
Yeah, it was probably them out on the streets.
They were on a side stage. Yeah. They weren't even on the big silly.
Mm. Looks like I think Cakes is right, if this is in the right order. It went Jay-Z, The Offspring, then The Cure.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I remember it being daylight when The Cure was up, when The Offspring was up. But maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. I definitely left when The Cure came on.
Right. You said, this is my cue to leave.
I'm out. Kanye is in the news, Cakes. Did you realize that he has actually filed for divorce from that Bianca chick?
Bianca Censori?
Yeah, you told us a couple days ago.
I do realize it because you did the story a week ago.
No, but I'm adding an element to it.
Okay.
All right. So he's getting divorced from his wife, and apparently he wanted to have sex with the wife and her mother.
Oh.
And they were big. Somebody says.
Valdez just told me that's a very popular genre.
That Bianca.
Some of the sites.
Bianca or his assistant, one of them, was his orgy coordinator.
Ooh, that sounds like an important title.
Valdez, you got one of those? You got an orgy coordinator?
Business card?
That's my side hustle.
But anyway, he wanted to have sex with Bianca's mother, and he wanted Bianca to watch.
That might have put him over the top. I already knew he was weird. That just fully confirms it. Because that's a weird bit. When we come back, we'll be joined by Barry Zwerluga, Washington Post sports columnist. And don't forget, coming up at 9 o'clock, Jonathan Allen from the Washington Commanders joins us.
The job market is constantly changing. And at Bowling Green State University, we're evolving too. Working with industries to develop innovative majors in education, engineering, business, and healthcare that will give you an edge when you enter the workforce. BGSU is ranked as the number one public university in Ohio for career preparation by the Wall Street Journal. Personalized career coaching, networking opportunities, and hands-on immersive learning set you up for success. That's the BGSU experience. Learn more at bgsu.edu/careerready.
Let's head to the BetQL guest hotline, shall we? Shortly, we'll be joined by Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post. I believe he's joining us right now. Washington Post sports columnist extraordinaire, Barry Zwerluga, joins the show. Good morning, Barry. How are you?
Great, guys. Hope you're doing well.
We are doing well. So what were your takeaways from the Commanders' close game against the Ravens? Look, the Ravens clearly outclassed them as far as offense, rushing. I mean, the Commanders' blueprint is to beat people on the ground, to bully them, kind of like the Ravens do. The Ravens just do it better. But give them credit. A rookie in his sixth game on the road in a hostile environment acquitted himself rather well. And I'm guessing if I told you a couple months ago the Commanders are going to be 4-2 heading into week 7, you would have been pretty pleasantly surprised with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the takeaway is pretty universal. I mean, I don't know how you could say, wow, they were just blown off the ball and outclassed in every facet of the game, and they have so much work to do to get to that level. And I don't think you can say, wow, this means they're Super Bowl contenders. I think you're in the middle there with, and the most important part is Daniels. It's not that the defense can't stop the run, because one, a lot of people are not going to be able to stop Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry as a combination. And two, we know that this defense has holes. I mean, the conversation we could have had on September 1st that we all would have believed is, man, they need help at corner. Man, they need an edge rusher. That doesn't change. What's changed from September 1st, I think, is we now have a pretty known commodity at quarterback. And while everybody keeps saying there's going to be blips, there's going to be ups and downs, it seems to me that there's a lot fewer of those than you would think. I mean, they lost the game. He didn't turn the ball over. He has two picks through six games. If you had had the over under at 2.5 turnovers for this guy through six games, I would have taken the over hard. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody is probably feeling similarly that they've solved the quarterback position as long as he stays healthy. And now you look at the schedule, and instead of saying, like, well, they're definitely going to lose, you know, a Thursday night game at Philly, or they're definitely going to lose at home to the Steelers, they're not going to run the table, but there's also no game on their schedule that they can't win. And that's kind of an amazing position to be in. Think about how you felt after the Tampa game, where they kind of got steamrolled a little bit. I don't think you would have been thinking those thoughts then.
I like to hear what you're saying about Jaden, because I got a producer over here that's very stubborn, and he will not say nice things about him. He loves to beat up on my skins, and he says he's playing well. I got another guy over here, Jason, who says he's good, but he's wondering if this could be the peak and that the rest of his career will just be all downhill.
All right, well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Go ahead.
Barry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Multiple times, Bickle has said, Jaden Daniels is going to be the greatest quarterback of all time.
No, I did not say that.
I mean, am I supposed to? I have to react to that.
No, I did not say that. What I said is,
I mean, come on.
He's going to be what I'm willing to go out ahead over my skis or whatever the cliche is and say, I think he's going to be one of the all time greats of his generation. He is the guy, barring obviously the frame and injury, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've seen enough. He's got it, and this is not his best year.
He's playing great.
He's only going to get better.
And you might be right, but I just can't agree that he's going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks ever.
That's too much. That's too much. But the idea that this that he might have peaked already in week six of his professional career, that
I didn't
this,
say
that's
peaked.
Ridiculous.
I didn't say peaked.
Drabby's alluding to it. Like, he could probably, like, yeah, I can't say anything because he's playing well, but he might, you know, come back to earth.
It's reasonable to want to see a greater body of work.
We got to see more.
I've seen enough. My elite eyes. What do you
I'll
see, Barry?
Listen.
No, go ahead. Sorry. Sorry, Barry.
No, not at all. It's your show. I tend to agree with Eric that
Thank
I
you.
Think you are, I don't understand how you would think 6 weeks in is the peak. I think anybody would say if he was more up and down than he's been, we'd be saying, well, he's only played six games, so he's going to learn how to read defenses better. He's going to learn how to go through his progressions better. He's just going to have an upward trajectory. It's almost like because he has had so few just egregious mistakes, and he could have had a pick the other day, the ball that mm-hmm. hit whatever's face in the in the face. So it's not perfect. It's not a straight line. I just think what we've also learned about him is that we didn't know coming out of LSU where, you know, 40 touchdowns and four picks, is you're doing something right, even if it's in college. I think what we know now is that the preparation is there, the work ethic is there, the leadership is there, the charisma is there.
Like, it's all there.
This is a guy. And so I would agree, Eric, that it thing is real. I would also say here's something that blows my mind from mm-hmm. that I wouldn't have thought in the summer. That game, Washington at Baltimore, was 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And in September, I asked my editor, hey, can I have that one off? Because it's not going to mean much. And I have a bunch of these games in a row in the World Series, whatever. I just wanted a Sunday off. And it gets to the point where that's the game of the week. NBC wants to flex it into prime time, but CBS is going to play its card and say, no, we need this game for us. Like, people are fighting over watching Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. Like, that's crazy. That's a crazy spot for this this franchise to be in. And it's almost like now, you know, how many times have we all flipped on a Chiefs game because you want to watch what Mahomes does? Like, you have mm-hmm. one of those guys as your quarterback now. That certainly hasn't been the case since RG3's rookie year. And I don't want to compare it to that because we know how that all exploded. But, like, this is just such a different spot for the franchise, not only atop the division, but kind of in a visceral vibe kind of way.
And the reason why I agree with everything you said, Barry, and the reason why I'm willing to go over my skis, is that the cliche case?
Get out over your skis.
The reason why I
wish you would stop using that cliche.
Why?
It's a good
because,
one.
Because come up with another one.
No, it's a try.
Give me another
true.
One.
Because you question it. Because you question.
Because I'm not good at cliches. That's your thing. No. It's not my thing.
All right, sorry. Continue.
Right. So the reason why I'm willing to go out there and be outlandish is because the obvious skill set that we all see, mm-hmm. but plenty of guys have had talent. Now, his talent I still think is elite, but what makes him special and what makes all the GOATs, Barry, and you know this as well as anybody, is they outwork everyone. Kobe, Michael Jordan, Tiger, all the great ones. They had great talent, but what made them great is they had the work ethic too, and this kid has all that and more. And that's why I think you're talking about something, barring injury, like really special.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. And I think that's, you know, 6 weeks in, I don't think that part goes away. Like,
right.
You know, sometimes you don't trust what people in the building say about their own people, because obviously, like, they have stock and, like, yeah, we made the right pick. Like, mm-hmm. But I would say, even people who were at LSU that I've talked to in the lead up to all this were like, oh, no, what you're getting there is a guy who knows how to prepare and knows how to put in the work. And that matters. And I think one thing that maybe is undersold about him is, you know, he played a ton. Compare how many games he played to Drake May in college. Like,
double.
He arrives having seen so much more and having learned so much more in two different places about how to go about your job. He's essentially been preparing as a professional for quite a while. And I think it's showing up in the lack of egregious throws, like the not being too big, the moment not being too big for him. I think the stuff around the athletic ability is more impressive than I would have guessed, and maybe more impressive than the athletic ability, which is honestly astonishing. So I really sound like I'm agreeing with Eric here on everything.
Thank you.
I haven't said generational, but I don't know how you could trying to tamp down the enthusiasm on this guy when he's really checked every box.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been phenomenal. And the other thing, like the humility of it, and of course we've seen the opposite of that around here so many times, more than once. They ask him after the game, and you see it, his composure, which I think is part of the experience. He's played in the biggest environments in college, right? Doesn't get any bigger than playing in LSU. They ask him about the rivalry and how big this game was to him, and I believe him. He said, it was just another game to me. And when you see him on the sideline, and you see him in action, and he's making audibles and everything, there's no panic. He doesn't look like it's the biggest game, you know, on Monday Night Football, you know, like an impossible situation for a Washington quarterback for the last decade. No, it's just another game to him. I'm blown away by the kid.
Barry, before we let you go, I want to get your thoughts on the championship series. The Dodgers obviously went 36 straight innings shutting out opponents, and then that came to a quick end in the first inning yesterday when Lindor went yard and then Vientos hit the slam. So that's 1-1, and then the Yankees win last night. Do you have any preference? Do you want to see Yankees-Mets? Do you want to see Yankees-Dodgers? I assume you want to see one of those high-profile matchups and not the Guardians and one of those teams.
Yeah, nothing against Cleveland, but sign me up for the Stars.
Although,
man.
Props to Lane Thomas, former Nat, with that huge slam. Yeah,
and he had struggled right out of the gate there. I think he felt a lot of pressure about being the guy that had been traded for, so that was a huge moment for him. Right. And props to the franchise. Like, great year, good job getting past the Tigers, who had some mojo. But I want Yankees, Dodgers. I want Shohei, Judge. Mm-hmm. I want Soto. That's my preference. It's been, you know, last year, I'm going to cover the World Series every year. Mm-hmm. And last year, Diamondbacks, Rangers, like, I literally got up, like, after that was determined, called my editor and was like, do I even need to go to games 1 and 2? Like, there's just no juice. And so I would love some, and I think almost all the matchups, unless it's Mets Guardians, kind of restore the juice. I would love, travel wise, it's no good, LA and New York, and obviously a Subway Series would be like, you know, if somebody's going to pay to be in New York for 10 days, like do that every time. But I just feel like baseball would benefit from having those two franchises, and not just the franchises, but the players that make up those franchises right now, to be on that stage. I was flipping back and forth between the Yankee game and the kind of dreadful Monday Night Football game last night, but I will never not watch a Soto at bat. It's just appointment TV. He the way he controls things, he's such a star. So I'd sign me up for Yankees Dodgers every time.
And it's crazy how the Dodgers are in this situation because of their injuries in the starting rotation, where they had to do it in the divisional series too against the Padres, that they have to throw a bullpen starter out there. They did it last night, and I haven't looked at the schedule and all the permutations of their rotation, but they might have to do it again in this series, I would think.
Yeah, they're going to roll Walker Buehler out there in game 3,
right?
Who, you know, he gave up 6 runs in his only postseason start to, you know, he's not the horse that he has been. And I feel like in this Dodgers run, which is very much feeling like the Atlanta Braves of the 1990s, where you're like a perennial October participant, and to this point you only have one World Series title to your name, and that was during the 2020 mini season with the crazy tournament that they had in the postseason. I feel like they get to this point with broken pitching a lot. And mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the one chink in their armor, because organizationally they are just a juggernaut. They are great at analytics. They're great at scouting. They're great at development. They're great at drafting.
They can spend the money and buy players.
And they have infinite money. Right. Exactly. Yeah. But it has not led to just these trains in October, they feel a little bit frail at this point. And the Mets have some of that 2019 Nats mojo going, too. I mean, they've had so many big moments, and Lindor is clearly a star. Talk about a guy that the moment is not too big for. Like, that's a big at-bat to get the lid off in the first inning last night because they had been, you know, shut down, and the Dodgers were rolling. I feel like that series, it's really foolish in baseball to think a series tipped because of one game, the most recent game. But I, for some reason, I feel like that one tilted to the Mets because of what you said, Jason. Like, the Dodgers' pitching season's in a little bit of disarray, and maybe the Mets are, you know, that team that got hot at the right time.
Barry, always great catching up with you, man. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you, Barry.
That's Barry Zwerluga, Washington Post sports columnist. Don't forget, coming up in just about 20 minutes, Jonathan Allen from your Washington Commanders joins us here on The Fan. Just about 15 minutes away from Jonathan Allen, Commanders defensive tackle, joining us here on the show. He'll be on at 9, so you don't want to miss that. Of course, we'll ask him about his season-ending injury. That's bad news for Jonathan Allen. Mm-hmm. He'll join us at 9 o'clock. Also bad news, if you're a Bronny fan, I don't know if there are any Bronny fans out there.
Who's a Bronny fan?
I mean, there's some people who love LeBron, so LeBron. Of course, by relation, they love Bronny.
Okay.
His preseason is not going very well.
I have not paid attention to the stats.
Well, in 3 preseason games that he's played so far, he's playing under 12 minutes per game, and he's averaged less than a point per game.
Okay.
Well, he's hit one of his 11 field goal attempts.
I'd be more concerned about that, like field goal percentage, that sort of thing, than who cares how much he scores. Like, he's a role player.
Right.
He'll always be a role player. But, you know, he's got to make some shots. He's got to knock down some shots. Now, I'm not going to bury him after
a very small sample size.
10 shots, but
he's only taking a couple. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to take many shots. He's not playing many minutes.
He's role player.
I looked at some box scores last night. Klay Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Great shooter, right?
Yeah.
He's on a new team. He's on the Dallas Mavericks. 0-for-9 last night. The things happen.
Yeah, it's preseason.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. He's not going to play very much.
He's not.
No, he's going to have a lot of DNP CDs on his box score.
I was perplexed. Jason brought this up during one of the commercial breaks as to why the Wizards wouldn't play some of their guys in the preseason. No Alex Saar last night.
Load management.
No Koulibaly last night. I guess, you know, you have such a big roster in the preseason that maybe you're trying to give looks. Like, I knew Vukcevic the other night didn't play. Then he plays yesterday. So maybe you're
I think that's probably what it is. They're just kind of, you know, not going to make you play all 5 or 6 preseason games. And they give you a night off. I'm not sure when their next scheduled game is, but they'll probably play in the next one.
The Wiz, by the way, they are, my math is not good, but I believe they're 9 days away from their season opener.
Yes.
It's
crazy. It's here.
It's not a soft touch either. They host the Celtics to start the season.
They've got one more preseason game left, and it's Friday.
They're playing the Knicks.
They're playing the Knicks.
Hmm.
Yep.
There was a clip that went viral last night of Kyle Kuzma breaking Ben Simmons' ankles. And it was such a Wizards clip. So Kuzma he's on the 3-point line.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the ball in his right hand, dribbles it to the left, and Ben Simmons falls down. And then Kyle Kuzma lifts up to take the uncontested 3-pointer, and it's an air ball.
No.
It's just typical Wiz.
I saw he went 0-for-6 from threes, and I think he was 3-for-12 or...
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have the best shooting night. I was talking to Mike Bray, who we've had on the show a billion times, was a longtime coach at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. He's an assistant with the Hawks, and that's who Rashawn Shea is playing for. And I asked him about him. He says he is going to be the real deal.
He had a good first preseason game.
He had a good game last night, too.
Oh, he did. I didn't see last night.
I think he had 15 last night, and I'll have to look at this. Here it is. Anyway, I asked him, I said, is he going to be the real deal, or is he a work in progress? He says his frame needs to get thicker, but he says he's going to be the real deal.
Mm-hmm. Wemby apparently put on 15-20 pounds.
Rashawn Shea played 23 minutes last night, 5-for-11. Now, he didn't shoot the ball from 3 very well, 1-for-5. 8 boards, 14 points in 23 minutes. Not bad.
See, those are the flashes I wanted to see from your guy, Bilal.
It's okay. Again, I play the long game. You're expecting him to be an NBA All-Star within a season or two.
No.
I'm not.
I said I just want to see flashes.
We're now on the third season?
No, second.
Second. Yeah, he was a rookie last year.
Okay.
Again, I take the long view. JP wants everything done in a microwave in 30 seconds.
No, again, you're not listening. I said I just want to see flashes.
Sure.
I can take the long view if I see some flashes.
You'll see some flashes.
I just didn't really see any flashes.
You'll see
last
some
year.
Growth.
You'll see some.
How many 20-point games did he have?
I don't know.
One.
I'd have to look it up. I'm more into incremental growth than flashes.
Yeah, but flashes show you that the growth is possible. Yes. That's all. It's hard to envision it if a guy just gives you like 8 and 10 every
night. It's like if you saw Drake May play for the Patriots in his first game. Yeah, he had a couple of interceptions, but you're like, oh, man, he had that deep ball in the corner of the end zone where next-gen stats said it was a 26% probability. Oh, he had some scrambles. You see some flashes, and then as a fan, you heard Ben Valin say it, you're like, okay, this guy could be something.
By the way, I think there are going to be a lot of points scored. Now, a lot of these London games are sloppy and disjointed, but you've got two bad defenses getting together in London, in Jacksonville, and the Patriots. Like, I think that could be a points palooza, like a 35-28 type
you're
of
right.
game.
I hope most of them are for Patriots.
Now it's going to be an ugly, like 13-7 game. I just jinxed it. I jinxed it.
Remember, by the way, can I give you what were you going to say?
I was going to say Koulibaly was averaging 27 minutes last year. I think that the minutes just have to increase a little bit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
I think you got to get to the mid 30s. I assume that's probably what they're going to do.
Now, that would be great.
You'll see some flashes if he's, I mean, to his if he's
credit,
on the court.
To his credit, he was in double figures in his last five games with a high of 15 in the last game. And he did have one 21-point game. I just didn't see enough. And the other day I just kind of was perusing box scores of the guys who were drafted high because you've got Alex Sarr, who was the second pick, Reece Ache, the top pick, Reed Shepard. Was he number three?
Yes.
I believe he went three. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
I
saw
him rookie of the year.
I think the Spurs drafted the guy from UConn, Castle.
Yep.
And he actually had a pretty good game. So it'll be interesting to see how these rookies they don't play much in college.
Just to troll Cakes a little bit because I get a kick out of it. Can you compare Johnny Davis's numbers last year? Like, how many 20-point outings did Johnny Davis
probably
have?
Zero.
Yeah, I would imagine zero.
Zero.
I'm not sure. I feel like he got. There was one or two games.
You want a stat comp across the board, Bilal, with Johnny Davis?
I'm asking a question. I feel like Johnny Davis has had a game or two late the last couple seasons.
He did have a 15-pointer on April 12th.
That's his high, though? He didn't have a 20-pointer?
Hey, hold on. Are you aligning with JP in an anti-Bilal crusade?
I'm not anti-Bilal.
It kind of sounds like it.
I just don't think he's a star. I don't see it.
Look, I'm not saying he's the next Kobe Bryant. I'm just saying take the slow approach with him.
All right.
He's like 19 or 20 years old.
I think he's a 15-year NBA player.
I think he'll be a fine player, but he might just be like a Denny Avdia type.
CBS Sports, by the way, Denny Avdia is getting rave reviews in Portland.
Yeah, I think
they're saying superstar right now.
I'm a Denny fan. I'm just saying, but Denny's not a man, he's a certain level of player.
I've wanted nothing more ever in my life than I want Bilal Koulibaly to just nuke the league now. Now I want him to become like a top five or top 10 player. Right. So I can just shove it on you guys.
I just don't see it.
I'm not off Bilal. I'm still rooting for you. But looking at CBS Sports, who did a draft redo this offseason.
Yep.
They redid the lottery. Now Bilal went number 7 that year.
Yep.
He does not go in the top 14 picks.
Ooh, where did they have him going?
They ended it.
Oh, he just wasn't on the list.
He went undrafted.
Well, that's not great. That's not great for my Bilal futures. But
it's
I'm doing
redo. It can
here.
Change.
Look, it could change.
It's a developmental year. He's going to get a lot of minutes.
I'm not
all these young guys.
This is the big year for him.
I'm waving the French flag here for that dude.
They seem to be calling him Keyshawn George, but there's no E, so I get thrown. Is this Keyshawn George or Keyshawn George?
I think it's Keyshawn.
He's going to get a lot of minutes. Yes. Bub's going to get a lot of minutes. Sar's going to get a lot of minutes. So you'll find out.
They're going to get a lot of minutes, not going to get a lot of wins. Yeah. Not a lot of dubs.
No.
As long as they get more than 15.
Are you taking the over?
No, went because that's what they had last year.
Okay. Right?
Didn't they have 15 last year?
But you're not betting either way.
I didn't put the bet in yet.
He might just bet $1.89 like he did last night. The difference is
no, no. Season totals, I put more
you're
on.
You're very thrifty.
I can't do a season total bet for $1.89. No. Maybe $18.
Skin in the game. All right, when we come back, we'll be joined by Jonathan Allen from your Washington Commanders. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.